Welcome to Onc Live On Air. I'm your host today, Ashling Wehner. Onc Live On Air is a podcast from Onc Live, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Onc Live covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In today's episode, we had the pleasure of speaking with Mansoor Raza Mirza, MD, about the FDA approval of dostarlimab in combination with chemotherapy in patients with mismatch repair deficient or microsatellite instability high primary advanced or recurrent endometrial cancer. Dr. Mirza is a chief oncologist in the Department of Oncology at Copenhagen University Hospital in Denmark. On July 31st, 2023, the FDA granted approval to dostarlimab plus carboplatin and paclitaxel, followed by dostarlimab monotherapy, for adult patients with primary advanced or recurrent DMMR or MSI-high endometrial cancer. This regulatory decision was backed by findings from an interim analysis of Part 1 of the Phase 3 RUBY trial, in which the estimated 24-month progression-free survival rate with dostarlimab in the DMMR or MSI-high population was 61.4%, versus 15.7% with placebo. In our exclusive interview, Dr. Mirza discussed the significance of this approval, key efficacy and safety findings from RUBY, and ongoing research investigating the role of frontline immune checkpoint inhibitors in patients with endometrial cancer. So speaking about the FDA approval of dostarlimab plus chemotherapy in DMMR and MSI-high endometrial cancer, what is the significance of this approval?
This is a game-changing, unprecedented result we have seen in RUBY trial, especially in the DMMR population. So these patients until now were treated with carboplatin and paclitaxel. And if you look at the whole population of stage 3, 4, and first relapse, the best trial we have seen, the latest trial was GOG-209, and where you can see that after receiving carboplatin paclitaxel, less than half of the patients were alive after 3 years. This was a real unmet need. And we know that endometrial cancer, 30% of the patients do have MMR deficiency. And of course, the idea was to enhance the activity of both immune therapy and chemotherapy by combining them together. So the trial was designed for the whole population with multiple primary endpoints. We recruited 494 patients, and our first primary endpoint was progression-free survival in the DMMR population, and that is positive. We looked at the overall population, progression-free survival, and at the end, we looked at overall survival. So all three are primary endpoints. Alpha was allotted to those. Patients were randomized 1:1 in two arms, which was chemotherapy, carboplatin, paclitaxel, 6 cycles every 3 weeks with dostarlimab or placebo, followed by monotherapy with dostarlimab or placebo every 6 weeks for up to 3 years. I think the beauty of this trial, one, I have said that overall survival was one of the endpoints. The other beauty of this trial is that the patients who had received adjuvant therapy and had relapsed after 6 months, they were added into study. Another thing, the rare tumors like carcinosarcomas were part of this study. This study is representing the population as it is today. And when we looked at the primary endpoints for DMMR, the study followed was 25 months. And when we looked at 24 months, as expected, unfortunately, only 15% of the patients in the placebo arm, chemotherapy plus placebo arm, were relapse-free, while in the dostarlimab arm, 61% of the patients were relapse-free. That brings us to a hazard ratio of 0.28. And when we look at the curves in the dostarlimab arm, there are some progressions occurring in the first 12 months. After that, curve is completely flat. What does that mean? That means there's some long-term efficacy, and probably most of these patients are cured as they are not progressing anymore. When we looked at the overall survival, although there's only 33% data maturity, and despite the fact that 38% of the patients who were in placebo arm of that cohort ended up receiving immune checkpoint inhibitor at the time of relapse, still you saw a unprecedented overall survival benefit with a hazard ratio of 0.30, PFS of 0.28, and hazard ratio of overall survival of 0.30. This is unprecedented, and this completely changes the way we think about our patients, how we have changed their outcome. And on top of that, when we look at the toxicity profile, patients are doing quite well. First of all, we did not see that chemotherapy dose or number of cycles in the arm where you had active dostarlimab was reduced. So equal number of chemotherapy courses and dose was given as it is in the placebo arm. That's one thing. Second thing, the excessive side effects by about 10% were those we know about dostarlimab. And if you put back to back these different adverse events, you don't see any difference either in a grade 1 and 2 or grade 3 and 4 all the way, except rash, which is 10% higher in the dostarlimab arm. The most important thing also, which we presented at ASCO this year, was the patient-reported outcomes. And it seems like that all aspects, patients are answering positively in the dostarlimab arm, and there is clinical significance that they are reporting better reported outcome than in the dostarlimab arm, probably because of the quick symptom relief and tumor shrinkage. So all in all, this study is changing the landscape of treatment of endometrial cancer patients, especially in the dMMR population. We presented it on 27th of March in ESMO Virtual Plenary and at SCO, and same day it was published in New England Journal. And 2 days later, GSK submitted it for the approval both for FDA and EMA, and it's great that now, at least in US, patients are able to use the drug in the dMMR population. We are waiting approval in European Medicines Agency, which takes a somewhat longer time, but we are hoping to get it as soon as possible. So this is a great news for our patients. Actually, we are going to cure quite a lot of patients because of this change in the standard of care. No matter that 1 month later, after the study presentation, the NCCN guidelines were changed, and other national guidelines in Europe are being revised as well. So what about the pMMR population? We are waiting the results of the overall survival to be more mature. At the time of data cutoff, it was 33%. We will have probably by end of the year much more mature data, and we look at it. And if that shows that overall survival is statistically coming to a significant value, that means that it's already hazard ratio is 0.73. That means that risk reduction of death by 27%. Hopefully it will keep, because we can see that these curves separate and keep the separation. And once the confidence intervals are getting closer due to more events, I'm sure that GSK would like to submit that as well, both to FDA and EMA. And then we would be able to provide this drug to all patients, regardless of their MMR status.
Is there any ongoing or upcoming endometrial cancer research beyond the RUBY trial that you're excited about?
This is just the beginning of changes which are happening after we have seen that the cancer genome atlas data and seen that this is a very heterogeneous disease. There are multiple of trials ongoing right now in first line, trying to answer the question of the role of immune checkpoint inhibitors. There were some early results with a shorter follow-up with the GY018 trial. Other trials will be coming up later this year and next year. So we will have multiple trial results coming in. On top of that, because of the TCGA, we have also learned that there are other drugs which are extremely effective in subgroups of patients. An example, 2 years ago, the results of a trial with selective inhibitor of nuclear export, selinexor, in the P53 wild-type subgroup, there was a tremendous benefit, and a phase 3 trial is ongoing to confirm that benefit, and that would be, again, a great possibility for our patients in future. We saw some new tumor-agnostic data on the TDXD, the ADC, and they're extremely impressive for endometrial cancer. and hopefully soon we will be starting the trial in endometrial cancer, a phase 3 trial, which will change again for a subset of patients the standard of care dramatically. We are doing trials. We have a proof of concept of adding CDK4/6 to endocrine therapy by Paleo study. And right now we are performing a phase 3 trial globally to answer that question as well. And so on and so on. We are really changing the whole landscape and the outcome of our patients. It was badly needed.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of OncLive On Air. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at OncLive. On Facebook, like us at OncLive, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms, so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you are there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.